Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Everlasting regret.
Oh, you don't regret it that much. You kind of sound like the kingpin there for a second.
Did you fart?
I did, actually. Yeah.
Did a little shit come out?
No.
We're actually doing the podcast.
I haven't soiled myself since I was a very young child.
I bet you've got a little poop come out.
No, I've never had it. Not even a little shart.
I think you're pandering.
Fucking pandering to about my
the
asshole.
Audience. That's what I'm saying. This is the first time we're doing it in front of like a small audience of people.
of everyone who would know if I shit myself. I've barfed everywhere. I have not shit everywhere.
Steve, I'm pretty sure you would literally brag about it if you shit yourself.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, he would brag about it. I shit myself.
I shit myself at a tournament. And I beat some guy because it smelled so bad, he had to leave.
I could see that.
And then they asked me to leave the store. And I vehemently refused. And I said, this is America. This is a free country.
Oh,
you can't kick me out.
I thought we were in America. I don't know what's going on.
What's going on? I didn't realize we were in Pakistan.
Oh, God. I'm exhausted. I'm like physically and I'm mentally drained.
I do not have the endurance to do one. It was one fucking con day.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I don't know. I'm just getting old, man. I'm just getting old. My knees are going.
You just got to cram yourself full of caffeine and other stimulants.
Oh, God. I've been drinking nothing but caffeine, pure caffeine, powdered caffeine, snorting it, everything I could possibly do. Rubbing it on my gums.
And how are you tired?
I don't know. I just, I'm getting old, man. My dogs are barking. I'm tired. but yeah, the C2E2 is this weekend. Steve's going. You're going tomorrow, right?
And Sunday. Yes. Looking for those sick bootlegs.
They never really have that many bootlegs.
You're not looking in the right place.
There's a big sign right out front that says C2E2 does not tolerate bootlegs, and they say consent. Cosplay is not consent.
I didn't want to take a picture of it and post it because in order to keep the man's privacy and like not blow him out. But the last year I was there. And I was buying my bootlegs from the guy who had a very, very impressive selection of bootlegs.
Okay. I think
he had a pole.
Yeah.
And on that pole that was directly next to his booth was the sign that said C2E2 does not allow bootlegs.
Well, I think your definition of bootlegs is a little different than my definition of bootlegs.
I mean, it's not all hard cocks into sweaty asses.
No. My definition of bootlegs are like movies that are currently in the theater.
Oh. No, yeah, that's pirated shit.
Yeah, that's what I think when I think of bootlegs. Yeah. You're thinking of more like anime that you can't get in America or
TV shows that have no degrees, which is still literally a bootleg.
Yeah, that's
still literally a bootleg.
Yeah. back in early 2000s when I used to go, it would be like you'd look at the guy across the booth and you'd be like, "So, got anything new?" And he'd look at you. And then you give him the slight nod.
And would the tip of his penis come up just a little bit?
It would like, and he'd be like, "I got some new things. What are you looking for?" And then you'd have to know the secret password, which would be like touch your nostril twice and then blink.
Yeah, if I wanted current movies.
You just pirate them online. Yeah.
And I also would only want screeners.
Yeah.
Like I don't want, I tried to watch a movie once that was a fucking hand cam film.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I got 10 minutes in, and I was like, "I'm done." Once I heard like the three people behind him, like, and I was like, "I'm trying to watch this at home, so I don't have to be at the theater and hear that damn wiener kid behind me going like, "Mommy, why is Superman looking sad?
Why is Superman unshaven and listening to Pearl Jam?
He doesn't know about that. He's a little kid. He just knows that he's looking sad. fucking wiener kids.
Why does the Man of Steel look so sad? Yeah, the C2E2 is great this year. There's a lot of cool stuff. Anthony from the Pat Bales Plan podcast, he got Stan Lee's autograph. So I know that was his big
thing. Excelsior!
Excelsior! He kept on saying, like...
You think Stan Lee's an autograph that people think is going to have any value?
You know...
Because they should know that it's going to have none.
Here's my thing with it. I understand. It's just... It's so expensive. I can't justify spending $60 on an autograph.
I mean, it's Stan Lee, and I get it. Like, you know,
yeah.
Stan Lee's a thing.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if, like, who's getting it just because they're, like, a fan? Because I'm willing to bet that most people who have Stan Lee's autograph have never actually read a single thing that Stan Lee's done. Other than knowing, like, yes, he made Spider-Man, etc. Yeah.
Well, in reality, most Stan Lee never really wrote anything. He kind of just wrote outlines and said, fill it in, boys!
Yeah, that you, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
He was J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. Bring me Spider-Man. I need poems about Spider-Man. Why does he wear the mask? If he had nothing to hide, he should wear a mask.
That's right.
I love J. Jonah Jameson. He's one of my favorite characters of all time. Kind of glad he's coming back to the Marvel Universe.
Poems about Spider-Man.
I want poems about Spider-Man.
Do you think there's gonna be a J. Jonah cameo in Iron Man 3 or Captain America 3?
I'm hoping if Spider-Man's in it, I'm hoping that at least there's some J. Jonah cameo in it.
There might be some.
Thwip.
No, not a thwip. A
thwip.
I wonder if they're going to give him organic web shooters.
Ooh.
or maybe they'll just have him, jump on screen. He'll be like, I used to be Dr. Octopus. Now I'm Spider-Man.
What? Superior
Spider-Man. The best storyline ever.
What about the Spider Clone with Ben Reilly? No, actually,
I think Superior Spider-Man's actually worse than Spider Clone.
I never read it. I haven't read Spider-Man in a long time. Actually, I wanted to get a T-shirt made for C2E2, airbrushed Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. So it's just Tobey Maguire's face, not even with Spider-Man anything, and it says "Rest in Peace, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2000 to 2008." That's what I wanted on the T-shirt.
Why don't you just get an airbrush of Tobey Maguire, like just kind of looking forlorn, like
Tobey Maguire fully nude.
On the bearskin rug.
On the bearskin. No, just standing there, kind of looking like he's about to get an examination.
Well, then on the back, he's on the bearskin rug.
Okay, you could do that. I'll do
that. You have to have the bearskin rug somewhere.
All right. All right, so we already went 5 minutes without talking about anything gaming-wise.
Nobody cares.
I know.
Nobody cares. Like I said, they're here to hear fart sounds, the sounds of rolling dice. That's pretty much it.
And you complain about GW, which we'll get to.
Me?
Yeah, you're the...
Why am I the only one who complains about GW? You fucking complain about GW. Everyone complains about GW.
They listen to hear you complain about GW.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I see. I'm the complaining draw. I see. Well, it's like GW's gotten so bad, it's like...
Yeah, we'll just wait till we get to it. I just wanted to make a point on C2E2. With gaming...
Is Games Workshop there?
I did see one Orc box set. The cards have always been big at C2E2. You could always been able to buy, like, Magic cards, all sorts of, you know, TCGs and all that.
I mean, Chicago's a card town. It's GW town and it's a card town. But it's more of a card town than a GW town.
Said by Al Capone as he's smoking a cigar made out of Magic cards.
Exactly. Stuffed with bits.
Some gubbins. But the RPGs are starting to get kind of... And board games have made a big... splash at C2E2.
Board games are the big thing right now.
Yeah.
They're the hotness.
But RPGs are starting to make a little bit... I've seen some RPGs starting to make a headway again.
Everyone who is excited about RPGs being on anyone's radar should thank Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, it's actually sold really well from what I hear.
D&D Next?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's selling like hotcakes.
Fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's selling like hotcakes at a place that only sells hotcakes.
I'm not certain, but I believe... I have, in the time that D&D 5th edition has been out, I have sold more Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition players' handbooks than I've sold Pathfinder core rulebooks.
Ooh.
And I've sold a fuck ton of Pathfinder core rulebooks, to give you an idea. Like, I'm not saying, like, Pathfinder sells poorly. Pathfinder sells fucking great, but I think I've sold more in this very short time frame.
But Dungeons & Dragons doesn't have a cute little goblin carrying a D20.
That's not on the core book of Pathfinder.
No, it's not. No. Are you sure?
No, it's the party fighting a red dragon.
Oh.
A red Dagron.
Oh no, it's a red Dagron.
It's a red Dagron.
You are approached by a red Dagron.
Do any of my feats work against the dragon? No. You have like a cooking feat. What the hell are you doing? You're the paladin.
But I wanted to be able to make sandwiches.
I play the guitar. Pring. The lute.
See, those people aren't power gaming, because if you try and power game, you get your GM to allow your bard to sing for his instrument. Yeah. Be like, I'm tribal, I'm from a tribe, so I want to be able to be like, ooh, da, 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 and sing my bard enchantments, so then he can never be like, the party is disarmed, you're all captured and taken to a cage, and you're all in the cage together, what do you do? And the bard's like, well, I just use my bard-like abilities to bust us right out of this cage. Be like, you can't, your musical instrument has been taken. Remember, GM, you allowed me to use my voice. Fuck! Game's over, I'm not prepared.
Sorry, guys. My fault. Sorry. Not prepared.
Sorry, guys. I thought it was a goblin, but it was a golem.
It was a golem.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of people selling dice at the
dice.
Yeah, a lot of dice. A lot of role playing.
Yeah, Jessex dice.
But they're custom. I've seen a lot of custom dice there. Metal dice.
There was a really cool Facebook.
I don't know how they roll, but
there's a really sweet Facebook post I saw for a thing called artisanal dice.
Ooh, and
I
was like, is it artisanal cheeses?
Hold on, I saw it and I was like, oh, those are some fucking sweet looking dice. So I was like, I'm gonna follow it. And I saw a set and I was like, wow, that set of dice looks really cool. I'm gonna buy that. Like I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna pick that up. And I looked at the price of the dice set, $1,250 for 7 dice. And I was like,
what is it made of?
It's quite artisanal. It's fucking made of artisanal.
For those dice to be worth that much, they have to be the most precise dice known to mankind.
I didn't bother looking into it because no matter what their features are, I'm not paying that.
I'm not paying
the price of a beater car dice.
Wait. Here, you'll appreciate this story, and I'm sure Pat Bale is gonna tell it on the Power Glove podcast.
I think you just kind of like stumbled over your words. You said Power Glove Catcast. I think that came out. You know what? That would be.
I'd listen to a bunch of cats playing with Power Glove. Yeah. It was. He found a. You know. You go to a convention with Pat. It's like he sees like a couple old Atari cartridges. He's like a guy looking at boobs. He's just like. He, at this one booth, he saw a inbox cartridge of Earthbound. I think he almost lost his shit. $250. He was like, "Bah, fuck that shit!"
Wow, $250. He should have bought that. He could have turned a profit on eBay.
Well, I mean, it was just
that's actually a good price.
He just was, and the poor guy at the counter was just like, "Oh yeah, it's a great game." And Pat's like, "No, the game sucks."
There's I'm currently trying to get him to agree to it, but we haven't concreted it down. But, he's getting the new Street Fighter, and Street Fighter is Pat's game.
Yeah.
So I want to throw down that if I beat Pat in our Street Fighter challenge, he has to purchase Earthbound and play it in some capacity to completion.
What's he going to do if he beats you?
If he beats me, I believe he said I'm going to have to play some number of Call of Duty games.
Ooh.
To completion. It's a brutal challenge.
That's a brutal challenge.
Because neither of us want to do that. Yeah. Like, I don't want to play Call of Duty games, and actually, Pat definitely doesn't want to play Earthbound.
He seems like he'd come ahead of it, because Earthbound actually is a pretty decent game.
That's the problem, because he's going to play it, and he's going to be like, he's like, you know what, I was wrong. This game actually is charming and really fun. And I'm going to be like, sitting there like, I don't want to play Call of Duty. And then I'll be like, I gotta play Duty. The new Duty's coming out. Did you see that picture I put on his Facebook of that like fat bald dude with the fucking Call of Duty games? Was just like, yeah,
Duty.
I saw it. Every time I see something like that, I'm just like, oh, that Pat needs to see that.
Pat needs to see Call of Duty stuff. Yeah, Pat was supposed to be here, but he bailed.
Pat Bale.
I don't know why he decided to stick around as late as he did at the convention, because he's going to be right back there tomorrow morning.
Maybe he's taking creep shots of Bruce Boxleitner as we speak.
Ooh, yeah. Hey, cosplay's not consent.
Bruce Boxleitner's not cosplaying.
What if he was? He's Bruce Boxleitner.
He's Bruce Boxleitner cosplaying as Bruce Boxleitner?
Yeah.
I don't think you can cosplay as yourself.
Oh, well, it's a thought.
I don't think it works.
So you want to talk about GW's newest creation?
Is there a new thing?
Oh, it's so fantastic!
Oh, you're talking about the game that everyone was excited about that turned out to not be the game people were excited about.
It's a poo game.
Yeah,
that's the only way I could put it. It's a poo game. So for $100, it's first of all, it's the Assassin game.
Yeah,
Assassin.
So it's not what anyone wanted.
No, not what anyone wanted at all.
So number one, it's not what anyone wanted.
Number two. It's $100. That's not unusual.
Is that $100? A lot of board games are $100, Joe. A lot of miniature starter sets are $100.
Yeah. You could get like a lot of minis in that.
The two-player battle box for Hordes and War Machine are $100. You get two armies for two players.
Oh, yeah. How many figures you get in that set?
It's about 35 to 40 per side.
Okay. How many figures do you think are in this box, Steve?
Well, I mean, at $100, I'd be expecting some value, so 40 to 60 figures.
There's 16 figures, Steve. 16. Well, but you know what? The thing is that sometimes in the GW box sets, you get unique sculpts. I mean, look at Space Hulk.
Oh, well, I mean, if they're all 16 unique figures, then I guess I could see that.
There's four unique figures, Steve.
Oh.
Yeah, all the rest, already released figures.
Oh, already released. Yeah. Three packages.
Cultists and Chaos Space Marines that are already out, and four new Assassin sculpts.
I see.
Yeah. The rules don't seem to make any sense whatsoever, it seems, and it's just cardboard.
So, what should be to no one's surprise, Games Workshop has surprised no one.
No. Not at all.
It's that's the thing. One day they will surprise people, but it's going to be too fucking late.
It's going to be too late.
I got to tell you an interesting story, GW related. There's a player who I used to do a lot of commission work for. And he's a super nice guy. He's a diehard fantasy player. He's been playing since first.
Yeah.
Like, he's been playing fantasy since it fucking came out. Yeah. He has everything. But he still does new armies. So, super nice guy. I don't want to, like, name names because it's weird. But he talked to me the other day.
His name is Dick Turgid.
Dick Turgid.
That's my poor name.
That's your poor name? Yes. Well, then you know what? I'm going to give him his own poor name. Dick Mountain Joy.
Oh, okay. Mountain Joy.
Yeah.
That's a good... Mountain Joy.
Yeah, Dick Mountain Joy. But he called me...
That's the worst G.I. Joe code name of all time.
G.I. Joe was there.
Mountain Joy.
He called me a couple weeks ago, and I'm still looking. I haven't heard anybody who can help me out, but he's looking for a complete, fully painted Privateer Press Menoth army, because he thinks the next edition of Fantasy is just... He's like, they're gonna kill it. I don't think I'm gonna do it anymore.
I thought you were gonna say the next edition of Fantasy is gonna include Menoth.
No, well, I fucking might as well, because it sounds like if the rumor mills are actually true, there's a couple things that are interesting about it. One, it actually kind of sounds like a game that I'd be interested in playing.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know it's gonna require a bajillion fulfillion models, so that's out the window.
So the latest rumor I heard on this...
I heard it's circle bases.
It is circle bases.
Is that confirmed?
That's confirmed.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh my god.
It's going to have the 30 mil... the 32 mil, sorry.
No. 37 mil.
37
mil. They're going to revolutionize the industry with 37 millimeter bases.
Yes. They should do it on a completely different system, so it's not even millimeters or inches. It's like based on like it's a span.
It's non-Euclidean.
It's non-Euclidean. You look at it, you go insane.
You rolled regular dice. You're supposed to use your non-Euclidean set. My eyes are bleeding and I can taste the sun. Hester.
Yeah. No, okay, so the latest I've heard from the rumors on this is that there's technically going to be two scales to the game. There's going to be a smaller skirmish-sized game to it, where it's going to be kind of like what Hordes...
Mordheim?
Yeah. No, like what Warhammer Hordes should be. You know, okay. You're using like...
15 to 20 models? Warhammer Hordes is not that.
It's going to be like two units in a monster. Two units, a monster, and a leader.
Okay.
Kind of like... That's the one scale, and the other scale is going to be more traditional towards fantasy-sized. It's supposed to be on round bases. Everything new is going to come on round bases. However, they say that if you use the square bases, it'll be fine. There's nothing that says you can't use the square bases. Your old model should still work with it. Now, whether or not any of this is true, or if it's just fanboys going, no, this is the way it's going to be.
Here's the thing. They're telling you that the square bases are going to be fine, but they're actually going to put all of the models on slightly bigger or smaller bases. So if you had the square bases, it's going to be like, well, while your square base is still okay, you'd have to be on 25 mil square bases.
Well, let's be fair. In order to do this, you'd still have to play fantasy.
Also, in order to do this, Games Workshop would actually have to comment on something.
Yeah. There's nothing on it. No one cares in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
Everyone has abandoned fantasy. Everyone's abandoned 40K. Everyone's just playing 30K four-gold models.
30K.
Yeah. They're just like, we're done with this.
I think everyone's just playing video games.
Vidgy games? They're playing vidgy games?
It's like people who used to do like hardcore minis are just like, well, guess I'm just going to play vidgy games and board games. I'm out.
I'm out. They would just be like, I'm done with this. I'm gonna go play some Grand Theft Auto 5 on my computer.
I'm gonna make a movie with Grand Theft Auto 5.
I'm gonna buy Grand Theft Auto 5 for the fifth time, giving Rocksteady another
Rockstar
whatever. It's $300 of my money to play the same game five times.
Hey man, they They made a fucking fortune on that game.
They did. By just reselling it at a different...
They made a fortune. That's the thing. They already had a fortune from the first. So...
I don't get it.
It's a sweet game if you haven't played it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a big Grand Theft Auto fan.
Neither am I, and I think that game's really good.
Me and Bale had this conversation where we were talking about Shadows of Mordor, and I was just like talking about how bad it was on PS3, and that was part of what led me to get my new computer. And he's like, well, why don't you just rebuy it for the computer? I'm like, but I already beat it on PS3. Why would I rebuy a game that I already own? He goes, well, you're going to experience it all over again. I'm like, no, I don't do that.
You don't replay games?
I do, but I'm not going to rebuy it for... If I was going
to
replay it...
You would have
it,
to replay it on PS3?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Right, well, at some point, it'll be at the... At some point,
it'll be
it
on
will
Steam
be
sale.
Cheap enough on a Steam sale where you'll be like...
Oh, no, I completely...
All right, $4, I'm in.
I mean, even if it was like $10 on Steam, I'd probably pick it up for $10 on Steam. But I'm not paying. No. No, please.
Yeah, I'm charging MSRP for the game again is kind of weird.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
You can only really get away with that if the game is, if it's a port to a new console, because it's somewhat legitimate, because you can be like, all right, well, we released this game for, you know, PS3, but we're going to release a new version for PS4.
Yeah.
New version, not at the same time, where they're like, you know, like someone might not have bought this game for PS3. Yeah. So,
other gaming news, your new Force of Will came out today.
That's true.
Yeah.
New Force of Will.
You want to talk about
Moon Priestess Returns.
Is this the one where you get Jesus?
Yes, this is the one with the actual Jesus card.
Now, is it Jesus or is it Kanye?
It's Jesus.
Oh.
It's not Kanye.
Oh.
That would be racist.
No. Well, Kanye...
The fact that you just said the word Kanye makes you a racist.
Oh.
And now I'm a racist.
Oh, wait.
Because I said it.
I got the Jesus card right here. That's a pretty impressive looking Jesus.
It's fucking Jesus.
It's the Savior of Splendor. Not the Savior of Splenda.
No.
Splendor,
the hit game with gems and buying artisanal shops to sell those gems.
I kind of wish that it was the actual art on the card was the Jesus, like all the super muscular Jesus breaking the cross that you see on the internet every once in a while.
I was hoping it'd be the one where he's polishing the bowling ball.
Yeah.
Liam and me, we're going to fuck you up.
Nobody fuck with that Jesus. He's pederast.
It's interesting. I played a lot of TCGs and CCGs, as I've talked about before. This one is the most generous with collation, because all of us have gotten 3 booster boxes each, which is half a case. Case is 6. So anyone who plays Magic knows that a case of Magic cards is 6 boxes. If these were Magic, we could probably assemble a complete playset of a couple Mythic Rares between the 3 of us. But I think we're going to be at pretty close to play sets of most things, period. Because they're collation's generous and their sets are smaller.
Yeah.
So like you will probably be off by like 1 or 2 cards, but comparatively to Magic, it's insane because the set is half the size, because a Magic card set is 228 plus possible cards. Mm-hmm. This game has like 105 cards per set.
Oh,
they have the same rarity level, where mythic in this game, it's called super rare, is like 1 in every 3 packs. You get a rare in every pack. And then there's special lands, which are also rares. However, in Magic, if you get a special land, it's your rare. If you get a rare, it's your rare.
Any of those special lands, the Land of Confusion?
Well, they're actually stones, so they're only lands in Magic.
Oh.
Although, there might be a land card in Magic called Land of Confusion.
I would love it if there was
the puppet of fucking Ronald Reagan on it.
I would love it if there was like a set in this Force of Will that was just Genesis related, like the band Genesis. Phil Collins.
If you can take Japanese and learn it fluently, you could talk to the creator, and you might be able to convince him of doing that. Just saying, if that's your goal.
Well, maybe. But,
if you get a land, it's your rare in Magic. If you get a rare, it's your rare. If you get your mythic, it takes your rare. So you get 1 per pack, basically, is the max.
Yeah.
In Force of Will, they set the collation so if you get a special stone, it replaces your common stone that you get in every pack, so you still get your rare. If you get a super rare, it replaces an uncommon or a common. So you get your super rare and your rare. So if you open one that has... You can open a pack that has a stone, a rare, and a super rare in all in the same pack.
Wow.
And you can also open a pack that's all super rares.
Yeah, you've talked about
which
that.
Which is
did
sweet.
You, did you, any of you guys get one yet?
We didn't. Actually, we missed all of the special things in the set. We opened 9 boxes, which is crazy because most people are doing much better than we are. Because I looked at the guy, he's like, he opened 3 boxes and he's like, I got everything. I'm like, you fucking son of a bitch.
Well, you can't win them all, Steve. Can't win them all. There's your farting for that episode. We need some dice rolling now. Wait.
That one really didn't sound like dice.
But you haven't played the set yet.
We haven't.
So you don't know if it's any good or not.
We know it's good.
Yeah.
Because when you play a game frequently, you know it's good. Like, you play butt action. So if you saw there was some new Nazi who had, like, karate Hitler action, and he got to roll 20,000 dice on his attack rolls and, like, dildoing.
Ooh, the mecha Hitler.
You'd be like, wow, that's a lot of dildoing. I'm going to get that figure. You can look at an upcoming model and say that it's good.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing with card games. Which is interesting, because the last set of Magic is hot garbage. Dragons of Darkir is shit.
Yeah. You want to hear something funny about, not technically bolt action, but somewhat tangentially related?
Is it about Little Wars?
No.
Or that other one you said, Historicon?
Historicon. That's the one in Pennsylvania. That's actually a pretty good one.
Historicon might be the most laughable sounding one.
Historicon.
Like, I was like, whoa, Historicon.
What about Salute?
Well, Salute's British. I don't know.
They're
everything's different over there. Yeah. They eat a lot of bread inside
you
meat,
know the,
or
you wanna,
meat inside bread.
You want to know what the secret to Salute is? Just make it so that the British win every game that you play in, and people will just keep coming and playing it.
I mean, I that might be accurate.
Yeah.
But again, it's historical. So, like, I don't care where you're from. If you play historical, you're trash.
Yeah.
Get out of my face.
So,
you're worse than weeaboos.
One of the magazines I read is Wargames Illustrated, and Alessio Cavatori has a editorial that
Alessio,
he writes.
The handsome and very strange-looking Alessio.
Yes. The weird, strangely British-Italian Alessio Cavatori.
He's Britalian.
He wrote an article basically trashing people who take his rule sets for tournaments and change up the rules for the tournaments to suit their needs.
I agree with that. I think if the game, this is the thing that actually bugs me about.
Well, we had just talked about this on the podcast where it was like
banning flamethrowers.
Well, banning flame tanks, and it's. He literally said...
I thought all the flamethrowers were banned.
No, just flamethrowers.
Just tanks?
Just
okay.
Tanks. Yeah. But the greatest thing is that it was like, on one hand, he was absolutely right. Like, I don't want to fucking play where every table's got its own set of rules and everything like that.
Awful.
But on the other hand, if your rules are shitty enough where we can't have a standardized set of terrain rules that we could just use...
That's the thing. It's because miniatures games, in general, don't have the player base to produce very quick, balanced rule sets.
Yeah.
And also the way they produce the traditional way, the workshop way of producing your rules is completely...
Giving it to a bunch of monkeys and letting them poop on
it? No, not from that. Like, just like the idea of, like, I'm releasing a core rule book and then I'm going to release a book for every army.
Yeah.
Is the worst possible way you can have your game balanced at all, ever. It's unreal terrible. Like, that shit is awful.
Yeah.
Which is why Privateer, like, it took them... Privateer bungled Mark II. Like, they... At this point, they've fucking bungled Mark II. Like, they've wrecked their game. They have the
model's
good
still
idea.
Cool.
Well, yeah. But, like, that's kind of neither here nor there. But they can fix their game very quickly and easily. Like, for Privateer to fix anything, they could release... They can immediately... Because of the way their game is made, they can immediately release an FAQ or, like, an update book that updates the rule book without invalidating all of the fucking cards they've produced.
Yeah.
And then they can also just if there's anything that's been modded, you just release an update set of cards.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what Dark Age did. When Dark Age did their new version, they're just like, here are the new cards online. They're free. Download them. Play with them.
Well, that's what the new Super Dungeon Explorer did. With the Kickstarter, you literally got... There's
updated cards.
Here's all the new cards.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the way to do a game where you can tweak, because that's the problem. Like, a lot of games, a lot of card games, it's very easy to tweak if you're doing the main rules, and a lot of games in general, it's just easy to tweak.
Yeah.
If that's all you need,
yeah.
and then sometimes if you need something really big, you can do it without having a catastrophic reset of your game.
Yeah.
But with the way the traditional GW way of doing miniatures, it's like, well, by the time you've gotten to your army's rule book, these rules have been just destroyed.
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing with Alessio's comments on it, where that he was like, yeah, we, well, it's also part of, it's also kind of important because if everybody's like taking something out of the rules like flame tanks, it's probably a pretty shitty rule. You know, so you should probably change it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Kings of War keeps their rule set the way it is, and they update every 2 or 3 years, I think that's the best. Like, you update every, like, you know, expect that update. And Kings of War can do it the easiest because their rules are one book.
Yeah.
Every army is in one book. Their rule set's simple, yes, sure. Like, yeah, oh, it's not as deep as fantasy. Well, guess what? Fantasy's fucked, so enjoy that.
Okay, I mean, but
this game still has blocks of troops.
I would recommend it. Go out and find the latest issue of War Games Illustrated if you can, and read his editorial on it. Because on one hand, it's so true, because it's like, fuck you guys for your stupid ass tournaments. But on the other hand, it's like, fuck you, Elysio, for your goddamn hubris and thinking that your rules are impeccable.
It's, you know, yeah, it's a little bit of both sides, but again, every game's balance needs pruning, and like, shit, there's no possible way you can release a game without having something that's broken.
Yeah.
It took a while. Like, I'll use Kings War again as an example. When you first played Kings War, it's like, oh, this is cool, this is balanced. Very, like, pretty rapidly, people were like, oh, War Machines are fucking broken in this game. Yeah. So the game, rather than becoming a game of tactics and like, I'm going to do these things and we're going to play a tactical game, it was like, which army can take the best and most artillery?
Yeah.
Because that's the army that you want to play.
Yeah.
Like,
and dwarves. Then you always talked about how, like, the tournaments for Kings of War, they'd always, like, mod out the rules to be like, you can only take this.
That's the thing. They're not fucking supposed to. Like, the actual rule book has a guideline for doing tournaments. I have yet to hear of a tournament run using the fucking guidelines in the rule book.
Well, it's just like, God damn it, people. Just, I don't want to play a table. Ooh, well, this table's super special because this is the Beaches of Normandy table.
Minus monitor. What's the term? I've tried to block it out of my memory. Comp.
Oh, yeah, comp terms.
That's the thing. Comp is like, but that's so British. Like, the British they love their comp.
Yeah.
For whatever fucking reason, I don't know. And, like, comp is fucking broken. Like, it's, yes, your game might be super broken, like, in fantasy, where you just take one unit with archers in the tower and you win the game. But that's the game's fault. That's not the player's fault. Like, you can't blame the player for taking what's optimal. If what is optimal makes a bullshit, unfun, shitty game, guess what? You're playing a bullshit, unfun, shitty game.
Exactly.
Like, that's what you're doing. So if you've chosen to play a bullshit, unfun, shitty game, that's not the game's fault. That's not the person you're playing against's fault. That's your fault.
Yeah. I completely agree.
And I think, I think a lot of it's because minis games are big, because there's so much shit going on.
Yeah.
There's too much. Like, minis games need to get a little smaller. Like, War Master is a game that I really wish would have been successful. Like, I really wish War Master would have caught on.
10 mil will never become successful.
I don't even fucking care about the scale. I care about the rules.
Well, no, but that's the thing, is, like, a game won't become successful because no one likes painting 10 millimeter figures.
I don't know. It could have.
The rules are solid.
And plus, like, the GW 10 mils, fucking, they're gigantic.
Yeah, they were.
Compared to, like, normal 10 mils.
They were close to 15.
Yeah.
Do you want to see what my latest find was?
Be a pornographic catalog of game designers. I want to see Gygax's anus.
Look at this. 30 bucks for all of these.
That's not Gygax's anus. Are they all manual of the planes?
Yes. 30 bucks, 6 manuals of the planes.
Nice. Classic stuff.
Yes.
Gotta love that guy.
I love the artwork on these.
Finally, the Greyhawk Adventures.
These are all first edition AD&D hardcover books.
These are in good shape.
With the orange spines.
Yeah, these are in good shape for 30 bucks. You got a good deal.
Yeah. $6 a piece.
Yeah, none of these are like super rare books, but their condition is nice.
Yeah.
And that's good. Like, if anyone's interested in like doing RPG collecting,
yeah,
I gotta tell you, there's a lot of times where you can bulk your collection super hard. By going to like just a regular used bookstore and just like finding a lot of books, because there's common books and there's uncommon books, and it's really important to know what D&D books are common and uncommon and what their value is.
Oh yeah,
because like the Temple of Elemental Evil original book is worth dick. It's worth nothing. Yeah. But the Return to Temple of Elemental Evil is expensive. If it's sealed and complete, it's a very expensive book. The box set.
I think the AD&D one. You're thinking of. Not a Temple of Elemental Evil. You're thinking of...
Oh, yes. Tomb of Horrors.
Tomb of Horrors,
I do
yes.
that all the time.
Temple of Elemental Evil, the Temple of Elemental Evil for AD&D 2nd Edition...
is worth nothing.
No. If for AD&D, the Temple of Elemental Evil goes for about $80 to $90 for the book. And that's with all the maps included. That and the, I think, Realm of the Spider Queen, I think.
Realm of the Spider Queen's expensive.
Yeah, that's like, it's about the same, $80 to $90. But that's what, that those are like the two of the, they're not necessarily rare because they're actually pretty common. It's just that they're considered like the best, and so everyone wants them.
Yeah.
And
so don't pay a lot for Tomb of Horrors, but you can pay a lot for
Return to the Tomb of Horrors. I think I got mine for like $10. My box set of Return to the
Tomb
of Horrors.
Is it sealed and complete?
It's complete. It's not sealed, but it's in that really good condition.
That's insane. It sounds like the person had no idea what they were selling.
To you. I got that from a chain used bookstore. Not Half Price Books, a different one.
Okay.
And I got it on a day where they were selling everything for 50% off, so it was like $20. I got it for 10.
I mean, even that initial price is great.
Yeah, that initial price I would have paid for.
So there's actually a place in Wisconsin, Noble Knight. There's also another place called Loyal Knight somewhere. But
Noble Knight's the one up in Wisconsin, but they're pretty good with their pricing.
All the stores kind of roll together. Well, no, that's what I was about to say. Like, their pricing is fair.
Yeah.
So what you can do is, if you're ever interested in an out of print RPG's price, you can actually just go to Noble Knight and be like, hey, this is what this book should be. So you could be like, well, this book on Noble Knight is $100, and here it's $30. I'm going to buy it.
Oh, you could go to Half Price Books and, like, look at all of the Rifts books.
Look at all the books you've ruined with your fucking stickers. Yeah. Yay.
I could buy every Rifts book known to mankind.
Rifts is the ultimate sore spot for me. Because Rifts is...
You want Rifts to be good.
That's the thing. Minus the system, Rifts is the best RPG, period.
Yeah.
Like, not close. It's the best. It's got everything. It's got anything and everything you want at any time,
but
at your fingertips.
It's got the worst system in the world.
The thing about it too is, it's not even that the system is bad. The system, when it was made versus its contemporaries,
okay,
it was give or take about the same, maybe a little bit better in some spots, maybe a little bit worse in some spots.
Yeah.
But at the time it was made, it versus contemporaries is fine. The system was made in like 1981.
And still hasn't been updated.
It's never been changed. Kevin Sambedia is insane.
the running joke, and I don't know if we've made this joke on the podcast in a while, is it literally takes 2 sessions to roll up a character. And not just
it
like,
really does.
And not like a 1 hour session, like a 3 to 4 hour session. It takes two of those.
You've done it a lot, it's not that bad. Yeah.
When you initially do it, it takes like 8 sessions.
If you're doing it by yourself, it's very hard. If you're doing it with the guidance of a GM or someone who knows the system, it's not that bad. The thing that's sweet about it
will take you under his wing.
Or perhaps an older lady who's really into Rifts.
Put a blanket on, get some popcorn going, turn on Top Gun, roll up some Rifts characters. It's a great night.
Playing with the boys. One of life's simple joys.
That was a joke.
The boys.
One of the jokes I made is that the character of Iceman from the X-Men has come out as gay. And I was just like, but we've always known that Iceman's always been gay.
Iceman's always been gay.
Because you could ride my tail anytime.
You could be my wingman anytime. Bullshit. You could be mine. Fucking Top Gun remains the ultimate homoerotic masterpiece.
Well,
period.
No. We could just take out homoerotic. It remains the ultimate masterpiece of all time.
Yeah, fair enough. But to defend Rifts for a moment, minus the like application of the system.
Steve's need to defend Rifts.
It's not even a need. It's just like to like justify something. The characters take a long time to make, but they're super front loaded. Rifts is kind of an interesting thing where D&D your character blows at the beginning and you make them really fast. It's because they expect your character to just die.
Yeah.
In Rifts, it takes a long time to make your character, but it's pretty hard to die in Rifts. And like, you don't actually, your stats don't go flying up in Rifts. You only gain bonuses pretty slowly.
The only thing I've heard that's worse than Rifts in generating characters is BattleTech. At least the original BattleTech.
BattleTech's ridiculous.
Yeah, BattleTech just takes forever, and like the charts you roll on are all awful.
Yeah, well, if you do buy the book, you could end up with a paraplegic.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Like your character, like you rolled, your character's a paraplegic. Enjoy role playing.
Yeah,
like I want to be a mech pilot. Sorry, kid, you can't move your legs.
Oh, great.
And you have no skills that make up for that fact.
Apparently, I'm playing as Stephen Hawking. That'd be a great game to a character to role play as. It's like
no, it wouldn't. It would be the worst. You don't have an IQ of unmeasurable.
Especially in like D&D, where you have to fight, like you're in a fantasy world and you're completely shut down.
That's the thing. That's always kind of bullshit, though. It's like if you're paralyzed in D&D, like you can just get that shit healed.
Get that shit healed. You get yourself some stone.
There's magic. Like
you get special stones.
D&D is kind of silly. It's like there's magic. how can you ever possibly, like, the guys who always have, like, the super verser who's, like, level 20, who's got, like, the super, like, double scar over his left eye and is, like,
oh, not
half
just,
of his jaw's
not
missing.
Not just one scar. He's got two scars.
Yeah, the double scar.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he dual wields two scimitars and he's half drow, half dragon. And it's just kind of like,
ooh,
there's
a draugen.
There's fucking magic. Like, why do you have lack depth perception? You're level 15. Play a wizard to fix your fucking eye.
Pay a wizard to fix
it. You have the money. Be like, like, here's some gold, wizard. Fix it. And he'll be like, very good, sir.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Yeah.
Fabba-da-tubi. That's the eye-fixing spell, by the way. Fabba-da-tubi. Fabba-da-tubi. So, yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, there's a disconnect a little bit with D&D, because the magic is everywhere.
So, there's a...
Yeah, silly.
There was a really great... booth at C2E2, which was the...
Was it all dildos?
No, but it
are the cosplay deviants at C2E2?
I don't think they were there. I didn't see them.
I don't think they got invited back after 2013.
They had it's a gay and lesbian alliance booth, and they have just some really cool t-shirts and stuff like that. But they had one that says Alan Turing killed Nazis with science, and I'm thinking I'm gonna buy that one.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but they also had like a special. They had a print, and it was the Monstrous Men of the Monsters Manual, and it was all D&D monsters in sexy poses.
That's well, I think I want that.
I was gonna say, me and Pat were looking.
That sounds
at
up my alley.
Me and Pat were looking at. We're like, we should get this for
Monstrous
Steve.
Men of the Monster Manual. I think
and,
I want
and,
that.
And it was like, it's only $10, and I'm like, I don't know if Steve's worth $10 to me.
Well, I wouldn't get anything for you.
Yeah,
so.
That's exactly it. You could see it when you go tomorrow.
But oh, I'm going to buy it when I go tomorrow.
It's like, oh, man. D&D monsters and sexy poses. I mean, they were just pencil drawing. They were like super like.
It doesn't need to be. It's the con. It's
they
it's the
like
thought
a,
that counts.
It wasn't like a Zane Grey novel cover.
With like Harlequin the, romance novel?
Yeah, with like a minotaur like holding open the you know, a centaur, riding a centaur, holding his chest.
Nice.
You know?
Speaking of centaurs, kind of back to video games. There was a big thing that came today. I'm going to cover it because I know that the Pat Bales podcast won't, because they don't cover ever real gaming news. They do their what they're interested in, which is, you know, that's fine.
Duty.
There is actually too much gaming news to cover on a podcast.
Yes.
Reasonably. You have to kind of cover what you've picked and chosen.
Except on a tabletop gaming news, because we just really don't give a shit.
But well, also because the like tabletop gaming news is the slowest thing ever. Like, you want to hear the actual big tabletop gaming news for this week? Cryptozoic is no longer Alliance Diamond exclusive.
What?
It's available to two other distributors, possibly more. Does anyone listening to the podcast even know what that means? I don't know. Does it affect anyone listening to the podcast? Unlikely. But maybe. And that's the thing. But that's the news for tabletop. Like, tabletop news is slow and not common.
Yeah.
Table news for video games is like every fucking day there's more and more shit. But real quick, this was blowing up Twitter today, so that's the reason I saw it.
Did you break the internet?
I didn't. Apparently, Steam allowed there's now a thing called Maker Shop, which is brand new.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And they are now allowing modders to charge for their mods, which. Obviously, conceptually, that sounds great. Like, some dude who spends hours and hours making sword and armor mods for Skyrim can make a couple bucks. But let me tell you what it actually means. It means that there is a 99.99. $10,000. That's
$100.
$100. $99.99. Horse genitalia mod for Skyrim. Looks like we made it.
Wait. Say that again.
Which one?
The
horse genitalia mod?
Tell me what it is exactly. Start from the beginning. Is it?
Okay. It is a $99.99 Skyrim horse genitalia mod.
Because I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
And I'm proud to know the man who saw those horse vaginas and fucked them all for me.
And I'll gladly stand up
and pay with my card inside my Steam machine so I can see a horse wiener go into that, I don't know, thing.
That is that's amazing on every level. I know that at C2E2, some people were Pat was very upset that there was no brony meetup. He went to go
is
see.
Is that a thing at C2E2?
There was a brony meetup, and they canceled it.
That's probably the best for everyone.
I think it's.
I don't think the universe can handle that many fedoras in one place.
I think it's because they knew that Pat was onto them, so they were like, "We have to cancel."
They're like, "Pat Bales got us.
He's got us. We gotta cancel."
He's got his fedora. He's got his fedora detector. It's like, "Milady, milady, milady." My lady. Oh, there it is.
Brodies.
My lady. God. I really want that Zippo lighter. The fucking guy with the
poor guy. He's from Boys Meets World.
The fat guy?
Yeah. He was actually a kid on Boy Meets World, and that was his headshot.
There's nothing poor. There's nothing poor guy. That guy's fucking super old now. Who cares?
He's internet famous.
Yeah, he's internet famous in the worst way.
In the worst way possible.
Although it is kind of funny that something from the mid to late 90s is representing the current trend of fedora wearing douches.
Yeah, neck beards. Yeah.
Oh, well, let's skip that. Douches.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a lot of people rocking that fedora who have no facial hair.
Dude, and it's like, it's just like people I absolutely hate that are like that. That's why.
Hey, just remember. Cosplays. Not much for an Eldar army, but he'll do. Had his biggest fedora with his fucking feathers sticking out of it.
It was a Peter Pan hat.
No, it was a fedora with a fucking feather sticking out of it.
It was, when I was waiting.
I can't tell if I'm looking at you.
So when I got to C2E2 this morning, I got my press badge. I sat in line, just sitting there. And then they were like, hey, anybody who's got a press badge can go over to the professionals line. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, it's they let us in a little bit earlier.
Professionals.
Whatever.
As you can tell, that bar is set real low.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting behind this person. I'm not going to say their gender, but because it's not really important to the story. But this person was sitting there, and they literally said out loud, and I wanted to turn around and punch this person in the face so hard. They were like, I don't really watch Game of Thrones, but when people talk about the Starks, I like to make the joke of, well, what about their cousin Tony? I was just like, I have to kill you. That's the only way that we can be sure.
That's worse than $99.99 horse genitalium on for Skyrim.
Proud to be an American.
It's not funny. If you ever make an Iron Man joke related to Game of Thrones, guess what? You're not the first person to think of it, believe it or not. And it's not funny. It wasn't funny the first time everyone thought of that simultaneously. And it's not funny now.
It's
just saying.
But it's not even that. But it's the type.
Speaking of which, I love Sean Bean. He's so fucking dreamy.
Who isn't?
I just want to mention that he survived in Silent Hill 2, the movie. Sean Bean. He survived in both Silent Hills.
He also survived in National Treasure.
I've never seen National Treasure.
You've never seen National Treasure?
I mean,
movie's amazing. It stars our Lord and Christ Savior Nicolas
Cage. Peaked at Con Air. Like, you can't get better than Con Air. You might try and argue it, but if you look into your heart, you know you can't get better than Con Air.
This is better than Con Air.
What the fuck is it?
Let me see. What is it?
Nice. We've just been. I would put that up on the Facebook page, but we'd probably get in trouble.
You know what that reminds me of? Absolute power.
Yeah, just think about it like that. It was a dude jagging it and firing lightning out of his wiener. It was pretty fucking sweet.
That would have made Star Wars Episode 3 much better.
That was the electric jerking off sound.
I was at a local gaming store, and they had Star Wars. They had Star Wars on the TV, just because they were playing Armada in the store, so they had Star Wars playing, and it was Star Wars Episode 3.
They probably should have just had Star Trek, the Next Generation episode, The Inner Light. Be like, you want to see what character development looks like? Yeah, it's that.
Did you talk about the most bring down episode that you could
put? The Inner Light is the fucking best episode of TNG. Well, it's up there. It's really good.
Is it better than Measure of a Man? Because that's a great
that's
episode.
Also a really great episode, but like, The Inner Light is fucking good.
What about the episode?
It is a bring down, though. It's like, but it's also like not. I don't know. The Inner Light's just real good.
It's a bring down.
It
kind
of puts you in a lot of. It puts you in a lot of things. Well, yes, at the very end of the episode where Riker hands him the flute and he like takes the flute and he like clutches it to his chest. You're just like, oh, I'm so sorry, Picard.
Yeah. What about Chain of Command Part 2? That's the best episode.
That's pretty good too. I don't know. I guess it's one of those things where there can't be the best.
Steve. There are four lights.
That episode is fucking great too. But there can't be a best. I think that's the thing. Actually can't.
Yeah, but I was watching it and I was just like, this movie's just terrible. And there's people who will sit there and go, well, at least it's not episode one. I go, you can't make that comparison. Well,
that's like saying, like, if you took a really gross poop that smelled and you got it all over the walls, you can say, at least it's not diarrhea.
Yeah.
Both are still poop and they are still all over your walls.
It's an old family motto. You could take a scoop of ice cream and you could take a scoop of shit, but you put it together, you know what you got? Two scoops of shit. That's what you got.
Delicious.
Deliciousness. Oh, it's so bad on every level. Bleep, bloop. She died of a broken heart.
Bloopity bloop.
Bloopity bloop.
Bloopity bloop. Now this is pod racing. Bloopity bloop.
Hold me, Anakin, like you did at the lake at Naboo.
Before this war.
Before this war. When all there was our love. I hate sand.
Of course, it gets in everything. Plank bank! The best quote, of course, is just, plank bank!
No.
Plank bank!
The
do not want. A lot of people don't know that that's actually the do not want meme is actually from that movie.
Yeah.
It was a Asian subtitling. It was
It was not Asian subtitling. It was translated from the Asian
from Chinese.
Yeah.
Do not want. So now everyone knows. Do not want.
Speaking of Star Wars, they released the previews of the second wave for Armada. So now you could actually play the game.
So, I mean, you can't because there's still only Imperials and Rebels.
Well, you can still play Imperials versus Rebels.
Why would you do that? Who's going to play Rebels? What idiot is going to be like, I'm going to play the Rebel Alliance because they have cool ships. Their ships are stupid.
They actually release stuff.
Fucking everything in Star Wars sucks except for the Imperial designs of their ships. The best thing about Star Wars.
Well, no, but that's the thing.
Big ass fucking sweet pizza slices.
Pizza slices, pizza slices.
Help me, Artu.
they actually release stuff for the Rebels to make them competitive.
Who cares? Their ships suck. They're the fucking Rebels. It's like, I'm gonna be the religious fanatic dickheads. That's me.
Well, they're really both kind of religious fanatics.
No, that's the thing. The Empire is like secretly religious fanatics because the two guys who lead it are like religious fanatics, but no one else is.
No, he's not even a religious fanatic.
I mean, not to mention, the Empire can't be a religious fanatic because fucking one dude shit talks Vader, Admiral Mahdi, before he gets fucking choked in the fucking meeting.
You're ancient religious.
He's like, you're fucking Vader, you're a fuck piece of shit, stupid fucking moron idiot. Look at you with your fucking breathing apparatus. Your force is so powerful. How come we don't heal your fucking breathing? You just can't do nothing.
And Ramadi's like a neckbeard who's like, religion.
Ho, God, eh?
He tips his little fedora
his
hat.
Fedora. No. His fucking imperial hat pops the brim out and becomes a fedora.
And he tips it, and Vader's just like, fuck you, force choke.
That's good stuff.
And then, of course, you have the religious nut job in a robe and a beard who lives in a desert in a cave who corrupts a young man to do a suicide bombing against the Imperial installation.
Not saying, but we're saying Lucasfilm might be ISIS supporters.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying 99 horseshit Italia modding for Skyrim.
$999 US. $999 US.
Oh, God.
Fuck it.
Proud to be American.
Whatever. I'm hoping to find some sweet amiibo at C2E2.
There was one guy selling amiibos, and they were pretty expensive, though. The gold-plated Mario for
$60. That's highway robbery on the highway robbery price.
I don't know. I saw the Wii Fit Trainer, and that was going for like $100-something.
All right. Well, that's all right. So let me.
The guy does accept trades.
Well, let me give you the lowdown.
It's like the Seinfeld. It's interesting.
Interesting trades accepted. The gold Mario at scalper's price should be $30, and Wii Fit Trainer is $22.
But interesting trades. So you can come up there with your box full of poo and be like, "This is the most interesting trade I can come up with."
I have a dragon vagina dildo. Or, I'm sorry, what is it? What do you call it? I have a dragon vagina own-a-hole from Bad Dragon. Would you trade it for the Wii Fit Trainer? And I'll be like, dragon vagina, you say? I've never tried that before.
Tell me, how does the dragon vagina measure up to, say, a centaur vagina?
I'd be like, well, it's not just any dragon vagina. It's a Bad Dragon dragon vagina. By the way, our podcast today has been brought to you by Bad Dragon Sex Toys. And if you're interested in weird, furry sex toys, baddragon.com.
Bad dragon.
Dragon dicks.
Oh, man, they should hire us.
They should.
We are open.
I'll hit him up on Twitter. Let him know that we gave him a shout out on the cast.
We are here to, we fully accept, for, Well, what is it? Sponsorships? You know, we are brought to you by Bad Dragon.
We are corporate shills.
Totally. Like, your game could be totally terrible, and you just give me some stuff. I'll be like, it's fucking greatest game ever.
And then as soon as the whatever we've agreed upon expires, we'll fucking shit all over it.
We're looking at you, Northampton.
Dude, I love the Northampton Wargamers. I saw their on Facebook. I saw they had a post, and I was like, oh, I remember when we talked about them. And I posted on it, and I was like, oh, I think it said something about Hamish's mom. I was like, yeah. I don't know. I think it's like, it's Hamish's mom still like burritos or something.
She's still like burritos.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's worth if you're going to do a pop-in, you know, do the pop-in.
All right, we're almost at time. Do we have anything else gaming-related that we have to talk about?
I gave the actual gaming news of the week. It was boring and uninteresting, and I tried to make it very fast.
Cryptozoic is now...
Yeah, that's... there's, like, releases. It's, like, restocks. The same games that were hot are still hot. Oh, there's a new game that is number one on the Board Game Geek hotness. I don't know why, because there's nothing about the game known. And it is called Awesome Kingdom, The Tower of Hate Skull.
That sounds terrible.
I don't know.
That sounds like it's designed to try and make me like it.
But... That's the thing about it.
I don't want people to try and make me
but
like
But that's
something.
The thing about it. Who fucking knows? It's got no information about it. There's no example of the board. There's no pieces.
I haven't heard anything about it.
I don't even know if it's a card-based game. It's fucking number one on the hotness list.
What if you looked at it and it was just a horse vagina?
Is it $99.99?
Proud to be American.
then maybe we'd be talking.
Yeah, exactly. No, actually, you know what is really hot, though, and I hear a lot of people talking about is, seriously, Rebel Assault and Imperial Assault.
Imperial Assault?
Imperial Assault.
It's not as good as Armada.
And Armada. Those are the two that I keep hearing.
Armada crushed. It's kind of funny. I always talk about my called shots at work, yeah. And I have, like, a called shot board where I say what's going to happen with games, and I also note when they don't listen to me, which is always. And I'm like, oh, look, I was right again. You didn't listen to me. I was right again. You didn't listen to me. I was right again. You didn't listen to me. And I was like, I said our Assault is not as good as any of the other Star Wars games. It's going to be fine, but Armada is going to crush it.
Yeah.
And we still have quantity from our initial stock of Imperial Assault. We sold out of Armada like 2 weeks ago, like when it came out.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what makes Armada better than Assault.
I just like being right because I usually am.
Well, Armada actually has two fully ready-to-play fleets right out of the box, fully painted, ready to go. Assault, yes, everything is nice in there, but nothing's painted. It's all just...
I mean, also, it's a descent style board game with possible skirmish. Like,
yeah.
As every great skirmish game that exists can tell you, it's still a very niche market. Like,
I believe it's niche or
whatever.
Niche.
Who fucking cares? Niche?
Niche.
It's a very niche market.
When you stare at the Imperial Assault, Imperial Assault stares back
at you. It's a very niche market, and it's just kind of a thing. Like, I think there's a lot of great skirmish games out there. Period that have existed, but they just kind of
they just disappear into the ether.
Or I mean, they get their fan base, and their fan base buys them out to keep the game going.
Let me tell you this about Assault. As much crap as I give it, the minis are pretty cool.
I'm not even giving it crap. It's just like I knew it was going to be worse than Armada.
Yeah,
and Armada, we should get more.
Armada is seriously the biggest no brainer game of the year. Like, huge. Everyone should buy it. Everyone should just try it.
And
play
from like
it.
Looking at it, I don't even think it looks good. Like, I don't think it looks fun. The figures look great, but like the concept of like planning your moves three turns ahead is really stupid to me. Because like, while people might think that means that like you get more superior strategy, it's actually more random.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like, I kind of agree with you. I think that when you actually make your move, if you actually
you don't get to respond.
Yeah, you don't. It's,
so you can't outplay. You have to guess to outplay, which makes it random.
Yeah. But that's why chess is, you plan ahead, but yet you do one move
you
at a time.
No, you think ahead.
Yeah, that's,
you don't make your moves ahead.
Well, that's what I say, you plan ahead. Yeah. So that's why it makes it, but it's still, it's just fun. It's just random.
Yeah, like I said, I really don't want to shit in it, especially because the fucking, the ships look great. Yeah. Like, X-Wing kind of, I looked at it and was like, the fucking, the Armada stuff, oh, man, it looks awesome.
Did you see the new Star Wars preview?
The trailer?
Yeah.
It was a longer version showing me nothing other than the fact that Han Solo and Chewbacca are going to be in it.
Hey, Chewie.
That's what I learned.
Chewie. Looks like we're
actually,
home.
Harrison Ford looks like shit. Harrison Ford looks awful.
Yeah. Did you watch Cowboys and Aliens?
He doesn't, but he looks like he's 20 years older than he was in Cowboys and Aliens in that show. Maybe it was just the shot. I don't know.
Chewie.
But I'm gonna see that movie. It looks like I'm gonna see it because Why not?
What bothers me more than anything right now is just the hype train to it. Because I'm like, we all lived through 1999. We all know that the hype train leads to Nowheresville.
That's the thing. Fuck the hype train. There could be a hype train if the trailer showed you something. Like, what you know from that trailer is that the difference in what you know from that trailer and the, like, 27-second teaser that everyone jizzed their pants about.
Yeah.
The only difference is there is officially a chrome stormtrooper. That's the only new thing you know, because you saw the Millennium fucking Falcon in the first 27-second trailer,
but
which means Han and Chewie's in it.
Han and Chewie. We don't know that Han and Chewie's in that scene. I'm sure. Okay.
No. You know Han and Chewie are in the movie because it's the Millennium Falcon.
The Falcon.
The new thing you've learned with this trailer, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, visually it's like, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. But I don't know what that fucking movie's about, other than the fact that
I'll tell you exactly.
There's a chrome stormtrooper.
I will tell you exactly.
I heard it's played by Gwendolyn Christie, though, so that's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. Well, the chrome stormtrooper?
Yeah.
Here's,
I do like Gwendolyn Christie.
I'm going to spoil it for everyone right now. The Jedi and the Sith is the brother of the girl in the trailer who are Han and Leia's kids.
What girl?
There's a girl who's in the trailer. I don't know her name, but there's a girl in there. I am almost 100% positive they are twins. The Jedi and the Sith is the boy. She's the girl Jedi.
I'm going to say that the bad guy is Darth Revan from the fucking video game. No, this was good Star Wars stuff.
Is it KOTOR? Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about KOTOR?
Knights of the Old Republic.
KOTOR. I've been playing Battlefronts like nobody's business.
Is your boner jammed about the new one?
No, because they didn't show any gameplay footage.
Probably bad.
And EA is specifically said, there is zero space battles in it, and the AT-ATs, you cannot control them.
That's really weird, because you can control them in the first two fucking games.
Yeah, and it's EA who's taking control of this, and EA blows.
EA did the other ones, too, didn't they?
No.
Oh, was it actually just LucasArts?
Yeah, okay. LucasArts.
Like, I didn't like the second one, because the heroes were busted.
It depends. The heroes weren't always busted.
Vader was fucking ridiculous. You couldn't beat him. You just hold down the force choke button, they can't move, and you just walk up and lightsaber them.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that can be heroes in the game is other heroes, but the heroes were not balanced at all.
No, I mean, like, the way I always play is I always played one-on-one, you know, conquest mode, and I'd put 500 units in there, 30 units at a time.
We would play versus, and one of us would be on one side, one on the other. Also, so like, it'd be like, oh, we got versus, and you got Vader, and I didn't. I guess you win the whole fucking game.
Also, Vader, by the way, not Vader. Battlefronts 3 is going to have less multiplayer than Battlefronts 2. Battlefronts 2, I believe, had 32 max.
Oh, players.
Yeah.
Players, okay.
Battlefront is only going to have, like, 16. So, it's fucking bullshit. Anyway,
I don't know. This is the amount of people playing is like, that game you can actually add once you're over 12 players per side and you're playing that game that has AI guys still. Once you're over 12 players per side, you never notice how many people are actually playing because you just get killed by random shit. You're just like, oh, yeah, I died. I'm going to reload.
Thermal detonators.
It's like, you know, that's okay.
Anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. Do we have anything on the Facebook page that we needed to talk about?
I don't think so. Sizzler?
That commercial.
Sizzler is the one that brings you choices.
All you can eat, salad bars.
Americans want value, and they want quality, and they want choices.
The commercial is genius.
I put up Change the Bees.
Yeah, everyone in that Sizzler commercial, copious amounts of pubic hair. That's just what I'm saying. Yeah, go to like our Facebook page. You could also,
especially the dog.
You could also go to our subreddit, R Game Classy. You can.
I don't feel comfortable even saying our subreddit because I've never been on it.
My subreddit.
It's your subreddit. I've got the Twitter. You've got the subreddit.
Yeah, there you go. Which I barely do anything with anyway. You could also go to our YouTube page where you could listen to our podcast in YouTube form.
You can listen and watch.
Yeah,
watch and listen.
Watch and listen, listen and watch. Also, you can listen to our sister podcast, Pat's Play On Retro Video Game Review Podcast, also just known as Play On, hosted by Pat Bale, where they talk about Call of Duties and other video games. I told him, I said, Pat, make sure you rip EA for just showing for showing no zero gameplay footage from Battlefront. That's all I want you to do on this week's podcast.
No, the trailer was all gameplay footage.
No, the trailer was not gameplay footage.
It was in-game engine.
That's what they said, in-game engine.
So it's like, it looks that good, but you don't know what it's like. I mean, come on. To be fair, I understand you want to shit on them for not showing gameplay footage, but like, let's be fair.
Yeah.
You fucking know what that game's going to be. It's going to be an over-the-shoulder camera. You're going to be shooting guys. You're going to die. You're going to respawn. You know, like,
I still want to see gameplay footage.
I get it, but like, it's not. It'd be like, that's kind of the stance of like someone who's like, Call of Duty 19 is coming out, and they're like, they didn't show any gameplay footage. What's it going to be?
Oh! Well, you also, this is a little different, though, because this is a game that hasn't had a new updated version of it in,
like I said, 10 years. It's a little more reasonable, but I'm going to just called shot. It's an over-the-shoulder third-person shooter.
I want to see how it
looks.
You're
going to choose your spawn points. When you die, you can choose another spawn point. There are going to be objectives to control, which then become spawn points.
Will I get different classes? Can I be a sniper, perhaps?
There will likely, highly likely even, I'm going to say with a 100% certainty, you will be able to choose different classes. Then, if you perform well enough, you'll be able to play as a hero character. Maybe even your favorite and everyone else's favorite, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett's not my favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jango Fett.
Yes. Boba Fett dies like a bitch in the third movie.
Whatever, dude. Jango Fett.
Jango Fett dies like a bitch in the third movie.
Jango Fett at least does something awesome. Like, he actually, like, toe-to-toes Obi-Wan before he dies. Like, he beats Obi-Wan. He doesn't kill Obi-Wan, but he defeats Obi-Wan 1v1. And then gets wrecked by Windu.
Yeah, Mace Windu cuts off his head. And you just want when this little kid picks up the helmet for his head just to go...
I can't say that's exactly dying like a bitch, because he got killed by Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, that puts you at least a little above.
Boba Fett died like a bitch.
Boba Fett, for sure. Boba Fett got killed by a blind Han Solo who has zero hand-to-hand combat training. Like, Boba Fett's the shittiest character in Star Wars.
People love him.
You know why? Because
he's cool looking.
Quick interesting note about design. Sonic the Hedgehog is always the one that, like, I've used a lot, and, like, Boba Fett's the same thing. They're characters who completely live on the fact that their character design is impeccable, and like, that's what you immediately look at it. It's a quick and easy thing to remember. Like, you can see Boba Fett's helmet once and it's really hard to forget it.
Yeah.
You can look at Sonic the Hedgehog once, it's really hard to forget. Mario's the same way, like Super Mario Brothers. Like, it's super hard to forget their character design because it hits all the right notes.
That's what I think of when I think of Sonic. I just go, oh, put that thing in my butt.
When I think of Sonic, I think Blue Streak, Speed's Bad, Sonic the Hedgehog. And then, of course, Steve Urkel going, Chili Dogs!
I kind of want to just get a cardboard.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta get a cardboard tube and put in my butt. Let it go up there.
Yeah. Their character design is, that's the thing. If you're in anything, role-playing design, CCGs, whatever you want, the look of your game is incredibly important.
Yeah.
You need to like have something where people look at it and go like, bam, I know what that is.
I hope Pat puts a picture up of it, but there was a beautiful, beautiful Bioshock Infinite like print that someone had done at C2E2, and it was gigantic. It had to be like at least 2 foot by 3 foot. It just of Battleship Bay. It's gorgeous on every level.
I actually think that kind of ties into what we were just talking about. I think Bioshock Infinite, gameplay-wise, was shit.
Yeah, it was terrible. But the look of it was unbelievable.
Super great. Like, they nailed it. They nailed the world. They nailed the look.
But I think...
the game was really bad generic FPS.
But I think we're getting away from the point here that Boba Fett died like a bitch in the third movie.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay, so, yeah. Like our YouTube page. Listen to our other podcasts, including Past Retro Gamer Movie Podcast. Also, Comic Book Logic, where we just got taken down from YouTube for using AC/DC's music without knowledge.
You got fucking DMCA'd?
I got DMCA'd.
That's awesome. Way to go.
Yeah, but it's not by GW, so.
It's not by anything. It's automated. It's a bot.
It's a bot.
You didn't actually get taken down by some dude looking for it, so it's kind of like, eh.
I still want my letter from GW saying, you can't talk about us that way.
I
want
to make a Nintendo YouTube channel.
Nintendo YouTube channel.
I don't know. I just want to play Mario Brothers and get ducats for it.
Get ducats. Hey, look at guys. I'm playing Mario.
I play Mario. I got a fire flower. Check it out. I'm jumping.
Is he shooting fire from his hands or from his nose? Because it looks like he's shooting it from his nose.
Yeah. I fucking love Mario.
Or listen to Comic Book Logic, where we got taken down. Next week's episode is going to be T-Hor. T-Hor. The movie.
Tibor? The foreign guy at work?
Oh, Zutrev, you've gotten me out of numerous spots. And after that, do I have anything else that I got to... Oh, yeah. If you want to help the podcast, the best thing you can do is like, comment, subscribe to on iTunes. That's the best thing.
And do it on YouTube. Link our podcast to random shit on YouTube. Please.
I get so many like notifications like, so-and-so has subscribed to your YouTube channel. I'm like, why? Why? Stop doing that.
No, I told you, people are interested in YouTube.
I guess. I think it's all just the people who are like, hey, if you have a YouTube channel... You should subscribe to my YouTube channel.
It's like I was telling you before, you can actually have apps that aggregate stuff on YouTube. So, like, if I sub to all audio stuff, I can just play it, hit the play button, and all my subscriptions just update and play all the audio.
Yeah.
So, like, I had that for when I was in my car. And I'll just be like,
I think I'm also
new podcast, because a lot of people put their podcasts on YouTube.
I think also what I'm going to do is every episode, I'm just going to call it the review of this popular game. So, I'm going to say, this one will be the review of the Warhammer 40K Assassin game.
Also, make the thumbnail a goddamn sexy anime girl. Yeah. You've really been dropping the fucking ball.
I know. I think I'm going to do that. Review a 40K Assassin game just to see how many hits I get on YouTube from people
who
actually just go there.
That's what you should use. Just title it on YouTube, something we briefly talk about.
Yeah.
Because I really just want to see butthurt comments. People are like, they talked about the thing for like 3 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole, that's going to be, I think
that's pretty good. I just hope they comment. Yeah, I hope they like, comment, and subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe. I should have a little floating head going around on the screen that says, you know, donate money.
No, that's a Twitch stream.
Oh, okay. Twitch was at C2E2.
You don't know anything.
All right. So, Steve, until next time.
Blue Streak, Speeds Bear, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Game Classy.